our point of view. But this morning, I want to talk to you about God's identity. Because I'm convinced that our identity is really wrapped up in or intrinsically connected to who God is. And if we don't have a working knowledge, a working understanding of God's identity, then it's going to be incredibly difficult for us to understand ours. So here we go. When we talk about identity, what we're really talking about is who someone is. The qualities and characteristics that surround a particular person that kind of defines who they are and what they're all about. Now, we know that in physical terms, especially in physical terms, and sometimes also in as far as our background and where we came from and those kinds of things, because all of us at one point or another are asked to give, to talk to people about, to other people who may not know us that well, things about us so that they can identify who we are. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, here's an example. When we go into particular places, it just happened to me the other day, I can't even remember what I was filling out, but they said, may I please see some identity, ID, identification. And so rather than us going, we've got these things that we give people that are called driver's license, and we hand them to them. And you know, I've never really spent a lot of time looking at my own driver's license or for anybody else's driver's license for that matter. But when I look at this, one of the things I find out is that there's a lot more information on this thing than I think what we initially realize. You know, for instance, one of the primary things on here is my name, right? Like a name is like the starting point of your ID. Like if somebody says to you, what's your name? And you say, I don't know my name. We can't get to the rest of the stuff, right? So there's your name on there. There's your date of birth on your ID. Somebody knows this lady, I know where it was. It was at the drugstore. They was getting a prescription, and she said, may I have some ID? And so I showed her my identification, and she looked at my date of birth, and she said, boy, you don't look to be that old. And I said, well, thank you. You know, thank you very much. But what I'm suggesting to you is just by looking at this, she was able to come up with some information about me. She knew how old I was based upon my date of birth. On here is also, the color of my eyes, my sex, just some different things that are on there. Now, I want to just talk about that because it's important for us to understand not just those kinds of things, identification, but, you know, who God's made us to be, those kinds of things. All right, now, so let's take me for an example. Let's just take my name, because the name is the starting point of identifying who someone is. So let's just take my name, Jeff Hokanson. If I just told you my name, there are some things that you can start to know about me. One of them is obvious, right? That I'm a man. I know names are kind of, you know, getting confusing out there, but still, even today, most Jeffs are men, all right? All right? So if you just knew my name, you would make a connection between that guy, that person, and that person being a man. Is there anything else you could derive from my name? Exactly right. If you know anything about last names, and you've done any study on that, one of the things you'll find out is that people's last name that ends in S-O-N are usually Scandinavian by descent. In my family tree, it happens to be Swedish. Because the way that they used to do things in the old country was you would be referred to, just like some people in the Bible were, son of, and in my case, it would have been son of Håkan, which would have been the Swedish name. But when they came over here, They, instead of it being son of Hokan, they just put the son on the end of the last name. Are you there? You learned something today. I hope it's more than that, all right? So Anderson, Johnson, Olson. Are you getting the idea? All right. They're usually Scandinavian, some Norwegians, Swedish, so forth and so on. Those people over there, that part of the world, usually people from those kinds of names came from that place. Another thing I thought about my name is that if you knew anybody else with that last name, you could probably make some kind of connection that you might actually be related. You've done it, haven't you? You've heard someone's last name and you'll immediately say, do you know so-and-so that's by that same last name? So it's quite possible that when you're starting to identify, if you will, who I am, there's a lot that can be derived simply from knowing someone's name. Now, well, if that is true in our times and in our days, I want to suggest to you that you could multiply it by 10. And because in the Bible, names meant so much more than they mean to us today. Many times, you can see this, by any page, especially in the Old Testament that you turn, where a name will be given, and then there will be, sometimes in the side margins of our Bible, there'll actually be what that name means. Because in those times, in those days, they actually assigned a name as a way of identifying a person or even a place. They would call it that name because there were some identifying features about that, again, person or place. So they gave it a title or a name. And then the other neat thing that happens sometimes in the Bible is that God would take whatever the person's name was, and then he would give them a new name to serve as a new identity. I'm going to give you some examples of that quickly here this morning. You may have heard of most of these people. You've heard of Abram, right? His name meant High Father. And God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations, which was his identity moving forward, that God was going to use him to have many people through his lineage. Okay, his wife, her name was Sarai, which meant my princess. Isn't that a nice name? And God wrecked it and changed it to Sarah, which she now became the mother of many nations. Obviously, they were husband and wife. Here's another one right here. Jacob, his name initially meant supplanter or deceiver. And if you know his story or his history, you know what that's about. And God changed his name to Israel, meaning having the power of God. He's wanting to give people a new identity. Are you with me? All right. Simon in the New Testament, his name meant God has heard, and Jesus said to him, from now on, your name is going to be Peter, which means rock. In other words, your ministry, your life is going to be, substance and building something on and so forth and so on. Now, those are about people, but what I want to suggest to you this morning is the same thing is true of God. Remember what I said, I'd like to talk to us about this morning, God's identity. In Exodus 3, you may want to open your Bibles there, you will find the first place, the first real clue concerning God's identity. You may remember the account. It's the story where God has this interaction with Moses, and what got Moses' attention as he was on the backside of the wilderness there is he perceived he was seeing a bush that was on fire, but the bush was not being burnt up. And as he went over to investigate this phenomenon, A voice spoke from that moment out of that bush and began to instruct, this is in Exodus 3, began to instruct Moses or talk to Moses about raising him up to set the people of Israel free out of their bondage and slavery to Egypt and Pharaoh. You remember the story? Yes? No? Okay. Probably most of you here have heard this story before. Now, during this time of back and forth discussion between Moses and God, Moses, right here in verse 13, he asks God to show him his identification. Here's what he said. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is your name?' Then what should I tell them? Again, for you and I, names today are what they are, but back then, names were, they conveyed something. There was something about identification that was connected to a name." So Moses essentially asked God, he's looking to God to give him some form of identification. Up until this point, the primary way that God was known was the word, the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim was the word that people used in the Old Testament to reference a deity, a supreme being. It's the same way you and I would use the word God today. Like, people can talk about God, right? But even sometimes when people talk about God, we're not sure what God they're talking about, right? People say, "Well, I believe in God." Well, that's a big subject. What's that? You know, what's that all entail? And so up until this point, the way that the Hebrew people referenced God was through this word Elohim. But now for the first time, God is going to give them his name. It's not God, it's something else. Here it is in verse 14. God said to Moses, "This is my name. I am who I am." Listen, for those of you who were raised in the time period, this is not to be confused with Popeye, okay? Don't confuse this with Popeye. All right, God says to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am," this is short now, this is his nickname or abbreviated name, "I am sent me to you." Are you with me? Okay. This is the name God says now. This is the name he gives to himself. And he says, through all the generations, this is the name you are to know me by. I am. Now, here's some interesting things. I don't have a lot of time to talk to you about this, but let me just throw this out because this is kind of, this will help you. All right? The way that you spell that in the Hebrew is YH. W-H, I am. The way that you pronounce the Y and the W, they sound like a J and a V. So if you were to try to pronounce his name, scholars tell us that they don't even actually know for sure how to pronounce this name that God gave to them. Isn't that nice of him to give him his name and not even know how to pronounce it? But if you were to try to pronounce that, it would sound something like Jehovah. All right? Now, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, considered this name, this YHWH name, so sacred that they refused to try to pronounce it. In fact, their culture forbid people to pronounce it. They could write it, but they could not pronounce it because they were afraid they might pronounce it wrongly and so dishonor God. Is everybody there? later on, as time goes on, you're going to remember this, they most often use the name to reference God, the true God, to reference him. They went on to use the word Adonai, which translated means Lord or Father. So as they're speaking of God, they would refer to him as Adonai, not just Elohim anymore. They would call him Adonai because they were afraid to pronounce YHW, okay? Or J, using the phonetic way, J, where am I at? Here, I'm getting confused. Okay, so I shouldn't have put that in. So what happens now is later on, they decided to, and this is kind of a mystery how this all came about, but they decided to take some of the vowels from Adonai and put them into the phonetic way of pronouncing, or the way they thought you might pronounce, YHWH. They put it with the JH and the VH, and they put a vowel in between each one, and they came up with the name Jehovah. Have I lost you yet? Okay, so that's a kind of our English way of trying to deal with YHWH. The best known way that people use to pronounce W or YHWH is to put an A and an E in there, two vowels, and they pronounce it Yahweh. Can you say that with me? Yahweh. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, and I don't want you to lose track of this, is that the way that God wanted them to know him, he's giving his ID, his identification to Moses, and he says, I want you to know me as I am, Yahweh, later on, Jehovah. That's how I want you to know me. That's where we're going to start. I am. That's what I want you to know about me. I am. Now, that, on the surface, it's like, God, what's your name? I am. Well, could you be a little more descriptive? Could you, when actually, it's very descriptive. When he says, I am, he's saying a mouthful. Here are just a few things that I thought of when he says, I am. When he says, I am, he's essentially saying, I never had a beginning. I am. And I will never have an end because I am. You could take from that he's absolute reality. What are we going to measure everything else by? I am. He is utterly dependent. He is dependent on no one else. He just is. He is constant. He is the standard of all that is true. And everything else is utterly dependent upon him. I am. There's a lot of things that you can glean from him saying, I am. Now, here's the thing. It didn't stop there. This was his initial identification to Moses, that Moses now was supposed to take and kind of disseminate to the rest of Israel, that he is to be called or known as I am. But it didn't stop there. As God continued to reveal himself to the people of Israel, what ended up happening is that they would end up attaching other descriptions to him. But as those descriptions were made, this first word was never let go of. So here's what would happen is they would, for example, here, I'm just going to give you a few examples. You've probably heard the phrase Jehovah Nissi, as one of his names. Yes? Some of you anyways. But it's really Yahweh Nisi. I am Nisi. And the word Nisi here means banner. And you might think, well, you know, how does that help us? And it doesn't compute with us a whole lot, but it surely computed with them. You may remember, I didn't grab one ahead of time. Let me go see if I can find one here around the corner. But you may remember and if you've ever seen any Civil War type things, you'll be able to identify with this. But banners, just think flags, all right? That'll help you. When I say banner, just think flags. And you're thinking, well, how do we relate that to God? Well, what's happening here is that when the Israel would go out to fight, that someone would carry a flag, someone would carry a banner, and that banner, as long as that banner was furling, and moving forward, it gave them a focal point. It gave them something to know that we're still making progress here. We're still making way here. Have you ever seen Civil War where the flag falls and then the next guy picks it up and keeps going? And so they, as God gave them victory, they would look at it and say, God, that's really who God is to us. He's the one carrying the flag out in front for us to focus on, to put our confidence in, to put our hope in, and we're going to keep our eyes on him. He's our banner. Yahweh Nisi, Jehovah Nisi. He's our banner. He's our hope and our encouragement. They came to know him as Yahweh Ra, which means, the word Ra means shepherd. And I put the phrases here, I am the one who cares for you. That started to become part of his ID to them, part of his identification to them, is he was that way for them. Yahweh Rapha, which means healer. I am your healer. Yahweh Shammah, which Shammah simply means there. I am there for you. It goes on, Yahweh, I don't know exactly how to pronounce some of these words. I think it's Tizkenu, which means right or straight. I am your righteousness. Yahweh Jireh, Jireh meaning provider. I am your provider. Yahweh or Jehovah Shalom, Shalom meaning peace. I am your peace. So as God continued to work with his people, they began to see him in certain specific ways, and they began to put a name to that. Are you with me? Now, why is that important? Why is that significant? Why is the name connecting to his identity? Listen to this psalm. Here it is, Psalm 9:10. David writes and says, those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Yahweh, have never forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name will trust you. Can I say it to you this way? When you begin to understand who God is, how he has revealed himself to you personally, it makes it much more fluid and easier for you to put your faith, your confidence, and your trust in him. If you don't know somebody, think about it. There's a reason why we ask for identification. They don't know me. And because they don't know me, they don't trust me. You know, the other day when I was at the pharmacy, I could have been picking up script for anybody, right? Right? They want to know, for this particular script, who I was. So, sir, can we please see some identification? Right here. It's got a nice little picture on there. All right? It's got all my information. And she says, okay, sir, then here's what you came for. Because now, because she knows who I am, she can trust me with what she's about to give me. Are you there? So God wants us to know him so that we can trust him. God wants us to know him so that our identity, because we're his children, starts to become clearer to us. If we know who our Father is, if we know who our God is, then we begin to understand who we are. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you have never forsaken those who seek you. You see, just like Moses asked God to give him some information about himself, and God was faithful to reveal to Moses some information, God is more than willing to make it clear to you who he is. He doesn't want you in the dark about who he is. And he took a great step towards doing that for all of us by sending Jesus Christ. Hebrews says in chapter 1, verse 3, it says Jesus is or was the exact representation of who he was. The exact. You and I are created like him, but Jesus Christ was the exact representation of who he was. Jesus made it abundantly clear that he was not some form of deity. He said that he and the Father were the same. He and the Father were one. They were intrinsically connected. My wife and I like to say to one another, in just complimentary towards one another, that her and I go together like peanut butter and jelly. Listen, the Father is not peanut butter, and the Son is not jelly. They are both the same. They are one in the same. Now, it's ironic that it's this very issue that ended up getting Jesus, not, I know it was the Father's will, but ended up causing people to want to kill him. Look in John chapter 8. Open your Bibles to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, in this whole chapter, there's a discussion going on about who Jesus Christ really is. At one point, it had really gone south, and they were talking about him in terms of being, you know, a plant of Satan and Beelzebub and all that kind of junk. And as Jesus starts to talk about who he really is, towards the end of that chapter, in 54, verse 54 of chapter 8. I don't have it for you on the screen, so. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham," here's the point, "your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Verse 57, "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" Verse 58, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Now, hold it right here. Hold it. Do you remember me saying to you that they weren't supposed to speak the name? You see, Jesus wasn't only speaking the name. He was saying, "I am. I am." Jesus was saying, it wasn't, they weren't just having a hissy that he spoke the name, the Yahweh name that wasn't supposed to get spoken. Jesus was actually saying, "I'm him." Look what it says. At this, they picked up stones to kill him, and he slipped away. John, in his gospel, if you've read the gospel of John, you'll know that he does something with this I am thing. It's nowhere else in any of the other gospels, but in John's gospel, he specifically decides to key in on this I am thing. You may have heard it. It's called the seven I ams of Jesus in John. Jesus said at one point, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In essence, he was saying, I am the only way you can get to where you need to be and in one piece. I am the I am. Jesus said, I am the gate or the door. He's saying, I am your free and unlimited access into the forever kingdom that is not of this world. I am. I am the I am. He said, I am the light. I am the wisdom for kingdom living while you're in this world. I am the bread. Let me find it here. I am the bread. I am all that you need to nourish and sustain you while you're on this journey. I am. Jesus said, I am the vine. I am your means of belonging in order to give you a means of well-being. I am. I am the great. I am. I am the good shepherd. I am the selfless caregiver you so desperately need. I am. And finally, I think it's coming. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the plan of enriched life now and the promise of an out-of-this-world experience for what's next. I am. Jesus, throughout John's gospel, is clearly portraying and proclaiming that he is the great I am. I am the bodily representation of the one that you referred to as, and didn't even want to pronounce it, but as Yahweh. I am the one in your midst. Now, I'm telling you all this because, remember, we're calling what we're going to talk about here over the next number of weeks, identity. The reason it is so important for you and I to know God's identity is because our identity is found in Him. When we fail to know God, we really fail to know ourselves. When we forget God, we really are forgetting about who we really are. To find and discover who God is to find and discover who I really am. You see, the reason people are struggling with identity issues today is because the further you move away from God, the more confusing it becomes. The closer you get to God, the more clearer it becomes who you are and who He has made you to be. The further away, the more confusing. The closer you get, the clearer it becomes. When you become to know who God is, it gives you a sense of who you are. And we're going to look over these number of weeks that we're together, we're going to look at this little phrase that shows up all through the New Testament. You may have heard of it before. It's the little phrase, in Christ. In Christ. And it's mentioned over and over and over and over and over, because that little phrase starts to speak to us about who we really are in Christ. Now, here's the problem. In order for you to really access that, for you to understand what that translates to in your life, you have to be in Christ. And so many people are out of Christ. And because they're in that place, it's hard for them to really know who they are. But when you find yourself in Christ, now your real identity, not the one you were given at birth, at your physical birth, and who your parents are, but your real, not just spiritual identity, but your real identity is found in knowing who God is and who you are now in Him. I don't want to take this too far this morning, but Jesus Christ knew His real identity. Even though people were saying all kinds of things about Him, He understood and He wasn't shaken about who He really was. But the reason He knew that is because He was in the Father. Are you there? In John 17, this is the prayer that Jesus was praying for Himself, for His disciples, for you and I prophetically. As He prayed that prayer, He talked about Him being in the Father and how that has been His keeping source, that He and the Father were one. But then He went on to pray in that same chapter, Father, my prayer is that just as I am in You and You are in Me, that they might be in us so that the world will really know that You've sent Me and they'll be witnesses to who I am. It's this in thing that's really, really, really important. And I think what happens a lot of times is people get their initial introduction to Jesus Christ and they say, well, that sounds like a good deal. You know, that sounds like, I mean, who doesn't want to, you know, who doesn't want to spend eternity in heaven? Who doesn't want to sense like, you know, all the wrong that I've done in this life has been put behind me? Who wouldn't want to do that? So, you know, people take a step and they step into Christ, but that's about as far as it goes. You know, they get in and then they continue to flounder with who they are. And I'm telling you, this thing of being in is about you and I, like Moses, ongoingly saying to God, show me who You are. When was the last time you said to God personally? When was the last time you said to God, God, show me who You are? Because I can promise you, God wants to reveal Himself to you. But you've got to ask. Remember what the psalm said? It says, God, those who know Your name will trust in You. Those who seek you, will You never forsake them. When was the last time you asked God, show me who You are? I want to know You. I want to understand You. Give me Your ID. Because once you know who He is, it helps you to understand who you are. People, I'm just not talking about people in the church or out of the church. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about those who find themselves doing church. I think there's moments and times we struggle with what is our real identity. And we know, like Jody said last week, we know we have this enemy of our souls who's trying to constantly steal our identity from us. He's trying to keep us confused about who we really are in Christ. Because he knows that if we're confused about things, if we're unsure about things, that instead of living a confident life, instead of living a victorious life, instead of being able to, you know, to march forward and be successful in the things God has called us into, you know, we're timid and weak and you know, we're I'm not sure. And we're living life on the edge all the time rather than in faith and in confidence and moving forward. So anyways, we're going to be looking at this phrase, this little phrase that shows up over and over and over again in the New Testament. It's simply the little phrase, in Christ. And I'm telling you, if you do a study on that, you look at that thing, your heart should be soaring when you begin to discover who you really are in Christ. In Christ. Listen, somebody said to me the other day, you know, you often get in these conversations where people say, well, I'm Irish and I'm German and I'm this, that, and the other thing. I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, your first thing is you're in Christ. You are in Christ. Before you're, I think even the guy on a video there next door was talking about his Swedish heritage. But I'm telling you, you can come up with all kinds of stuff about your background in the natural. But like Jody said, we're not living this life out of the natural. We're supposed to be living this life out of the supernatural. And our supernatural DNA, our supernatural identity is in Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation. In Christ, the old things have passed away and all things have become new. In Christ, and the list goes on and on and on. Over these next 8 weeks or so, or whatever time we spend doing it, I'm telling you, there's like 100 and some times this little phrase shows up. Obviously, we're not going to be able to touch on all of them, but we're going to hit some of the main ones. So anyways, this morning, as we come to a close, I just want to pray for us this morning. My heart to you this morning is that you would have a hunger. I think that was part of that prophetic thing that Jay brought to us this morning. When he said, blessed are those, the one that just rang true to me, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. My prayer, my heart for you this morning is, some of you know God, but there's more that God wants to show of himself to you. All you need to do is, God, show me who you are. Reveal to me who you are. I need to understand and know personally. You know, I can stand before you here this morning and I can say to you, God loves you. But it's another thing for you to discover that God really loves you. Those are two totally different things. I heard pastors from the time I was a child say, God love you, but I was probably in my 30s before I really discovered he really does love me. Because I asked him to reveal that to me. I want to pray for you this morning that as we move forward in the weeks to come, that behind all of it would be a prayer on your heart that says, God, show me who you are. Show me afresh who you are. Reveal yourself to me. Because I know when he reveals who he is to you, it will help you with who you are. Listen, when you know you're loved, it changes your world. When you truly know that God loves you and he likes you, it will rock your world. It will change your world. It will give you a confidence that you never had before. Lord, this morning, we are in that same attitude. We're in that same spirit that Moses was in when he said to you, Lord, who should I tell them that you are? Show me yourself. Reveal yourself to me. This morning I pray, Lord, that you would help the folks that come here to PCF to begin to have greater glimpses, that you would pull back the curtain, Lord, as they would ask you, as they would seek you, Lord, as they would look to know you in greater ways, that you would pull back the curtain for them personally, Lord, and reveal to them who you are. For Lord, when we see who you are, it helps us to understand who we are. I pray that there would come a cry in our hearts, Lord, a call to you. Lord, show me. Reveal yourself to me in greater, deeper ways than I've ever known you before. Maybe this morning I would invite you and encourage you just to vocalize those words even now. Even now, right where you are, start. And then tomorrow when you get up, maybe you could get up with those words on your heart. Lord, reveal yourself to me. And then on Tuesday, when you get up on Tuesday, you could say those words to him again. Lord, show me who you are. Reveal yourself to me. And I just wonder if we get up every day and we say, God, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to understand you. I want the eyes of my heart to be open to who you are, Lord. As we grow in our knowledge and understanding of him, that we'll also be growing and making strides in understanding who I really am and who you have made me to be. Lord, show us yourself. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Make it clear, we pray. Personally, clear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.